Hello, everyone. Welcome to Making the Biblical Text Meaningful to Life, a platform on which difficult biblical texts are discussed. Your teachers are Dr. Liberty and Dr. Robertson. Hey, Rob, are you there?
I'm here.
All right. Will you please pray for us?
Absolutely. Heavenly and gracious Father, we'll just come before you this evening to
yes, Lord.
Study your word, to carry on this ministry, looking at what it means to have a biblical marriage, one that is rooted in your word and represents your values, represents the kingdom of heaven. Father, I just praise and magnify your name and thank you so much for this time to learn so much about you, Father. For your word is true today, just as it was yesterday and 1,000 years ago. And we'll be 1,000 years from now. Father, you have so much to tell us. All we have to do is just make time and to listen. And that's what we're here doing.
Yes, Lord.
To learn more about you and to learn your truth. And Father, I just pray this evening for those that will be listening and for those that will listen in the days to come. Father, just touch their heart, help them to better understand your word and to draw closer to you. Lord, we ask these things in the name of Jesus. And his name alone. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Rob. Thank you, Rob. All right. For those who are with us live today, we would like you to do the following. Use the chat to ask questions if you are on the computer. And please keep everything around you quiet, something like radio, phone, TV, etc., because this teaching is live. Now, for those who are on the phone, please take down this number, 561-406-9853. 561-406-9853. Call this number and leave your question. You can call several times. We are going to get back to you. All right. At the end of this teaching, just stay with us. Great teaching tonight. At the end of this teaching, we are going to unmute everyone, and you will have the opportunity to ask questions or make a comment, whatever the Lord is leading you to do. So now let us read our text for tonight. All right, and it's coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 5. And I'm reading from the New International Version. All right. Verse 5 says, "Don't we have the right to take a believing wife along with us, as do the other apostles and the Lord's brothers and Cephas?" Now, this is a question Paul is asking in his letter to the church in Corinth. And this is the question that Paul asks. And this is an indication that our study tonight on Peter, that Peter was married. And Peter took with him his wife on the mission tour wherever he went. It may not be everywhere, but several times he took his wife along with him on the mission field. So this is, and Paul made a reference to church in Corinth and said, look, Peter did this. Peter took his wife. We had the right to do the same thing. The Lord's brother, James, took his wife along while on the mission field. And so we got that. And this text shows to us that really Peter was married. So this is a fact. Okay. But here tonight, here are the things that I want us to look at now. There are no details in the Word of God for Peter's wedding. The wedding had no detail. What scriptures reveal is that Peter and his wife were partners in ministry. And in the text we just read, Paul made a reference to that, that Peter would take his wife on the mission, during the mission tour, and his wife would be along with him. So they were really partners in ministry. We do know that Peter had a wife because of this. During his other ministry, Jesus came to Peter's house and healed his wife's mother. That can be, you can look this up in Matthew 18:14, and then in Mark 1:30-31. This proves that Peter had a wife. The only issue is the name of his wife was not mentioned anywhere in the Bible. Now, let me go back to what Peter said again. In 1 Corinthians, I read that again, all right? 9:5, Paul asked, have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? Cephas is another name for Peter. When you hear Cephas, that's another name for Peter, all right? So that is a name. Peter is Cephas, all right? In this verse, it speaks of him taking his wife on missions tour. Let us not forget this. Now, what we want to discuss, two major points we discuss from in this study, two major ones. The first thing we're going to do is we are going to have the biographical sketch and ministry of Peter. And the second one, his wedding and ministry. So the ministry, the biographical search and ministry, and then his wedding and ministry, the whole thing tied in together. And so there will be a great study. Stand with us, be great. Now, let me give you the various things that we will be looking at carefully today. At the end of this study, participants will discover, know, and believe that Peter was married before his conversion. This is a key thing. He was married before his conversion. He was fully involved in a beneficiary fishing business. He was a fisherman. Andrew, his brother, brought Peter to Christ. I love that. The Apostle Peter and his wife were ministry partners. As we can see, even Paul made a reference that they went on mission tour. They were ministry partners. Peter's ability in leading during the early church was God working through him. It was not Peter's own strength. These are points that we want to clarify tonight. God led him. It was not Peter's own power. Peter, who denied Jesus 3 times, became humble servant of the Lord after the day of Pentecost. Yes, Peter, when the Holy Spirit came down, Peter became so powerful, the Lord used every one of them. The ministry and marriage of Peter were intertwined, and that both cannot be discussed separately. Now, what do I mean here? And as we go along, you will find out that we have no details anywhere for the wedding, as we did for other people that we have studied, how the wedding was performed. We don't have anything. The only thing we heard in the text is that Peter was married and he took his wife on a mission tour. And while they were ministering, that's how we get to know it. So to separate his marriage from ministry work, it would be very difficult to deal with it. This is what we mean. Because Peter's wife's name was not mentioned in the Word of God, does not rule out the reality of his marriage. Now, the first thing that I want us to pick up tonight is let us begin with the brief biographical sketch of Peter and also his ministry. First thing, we need to look at his parents. Okay, let's look at his parents. He was the son of John. Peter was the son of John. And when you read John 21:15, it's not John the apostle. Don't misunderstand that. It's not John, it's another John. So it's not John the apostle. All right. In the text here, it says, John 21:15, it says, when they have finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Now, there we found his father. But another issue, the mother name is not mentioned anyway. Well, if you find it somewhere, let me know. I would be glad to get that. Okay, so, but the point here is the joy of this study in his biographical info, his brother Andrew, you know, who becomes one of the apostles. You read that in Mark 1:16, John 1:40 to 41. It was Andrew who told Peter that they have found the Messiah. He told Peter, he said, brother, we found a man that the prophet been talking about. So it's always good to witness within your household. Look what Andrew did. He brought his brother to the Lord. Peter was married. His wife's name is not mentioned, as we have said. He was also called Simon by Jonah. And you can find the other name, you can find it in Matthew 16, 17, John 21, 15. That's the background about his parents and his family and here and there. All right. Now let's look at his education. He was not highly educated. Now, we can find this in Acts 4:13. Let me read that. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. So he was not a highly educated person with PhDs and so forth, you know, like he was not like Paul. All right. He had some sort of education, but not a highly educated person. Now, this one of the key things that we need to look at, he was a professional fisherman. Before Peter came to the Lord, he had a profession. He was doing something. God took him from somewhere and brought him to himself. He was a professional what? Fisherman. You can find that in Matthew 4:18. Peter was originally he was originally from Bethesda. That way he's from. You can read that from John 1:44 and lived in Capernaum. That is in Mark 1:29. So he was from this city. And then lived in Capernaum, where they were doing his fishing business. He and James and John were partners in their profitable fishing business. He got James, he got John, and including himself and maybe some other people we don't know. But there was a real business that they were doing, fishing business. So let me read another text that there, Luke 5:10 says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. It was at this time Christ called them. Let's look at his call. We look at his family background. The first thing, his parents. We look at his family background, where he lives, and with his education. We checked out his profession at the time. Now let's look at his calling in ministry. Peter was brought to Jesus by Andrew, his brother, as we have already mentioned in our introduction. He was named Cephas by Jesus Christ in John 1:42. He was called to discipleship by Christ. Christ called him, put down your net and become fisher. You will now become fisher of man. Not just a fisherman, but fisher of men. So he was called, God called him. Now, if you read, there are many, many issues we find when they're in one area, there is a theological debate to this day about Peter's new name that God, Jesus Christ gave him, which is Cephas. And it means Petra in Greek, which means rock or Peter. The debate has been going on from time to time. Up to this time, we still do not know. It's still on. Many volumes have been written. All right. And there's no window to this day. Everyone is holding on to their belief system. But the Roman Catholic Church believes that Peter is the foundation of the church. That's the belief of the Roman Catholic church. They believe when Jesus said to him, upon the confession you made, you are called Cephas, which is right upon this rock I will build my church. They believe that Peter was the rock upon which God had promised to build his church. So that is the belief of the Roman Catholic Church to this day. You can check it out. Now the second belief, when the Protestant movement came about with Martin Luther and Zwingli and other people, and they think that no, this is not correct. Peter is not the foundation of the church, but they believe that Christ is the foundation, and that the confession Peter made to Christ, recognizing him as the Christ. Son of the living God, that confession, it is upon that confession the church will be built and not upon Peter as the foundation. So Christ is the foundation, but Peter recognized, he was the one that said, you are the Christ that we've been waiting for. You are the Christ. Peter recognized that. So that debate been going on for years. So, you know, and you can think about it. You can research that yourself, but I just summarize these two areas of debate concerning Peter calling and his name Petra, which is Peter or Cephas that Jesus gave him, and he said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." We have two major interpretations within Christendom that I've just shared with you. If you have any question, just send a chat or make a call on 561-406-9853 and leave it right there, and we are going to get back to you. Two other aspects of this discussion are worthy of note here. First, when you read verse 18 says, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The gates of hell is a common Jewish euphemism for death's inevitable and irrevocable power. Jesus is saying that Satan will not be trumped over the church, and his sphere of operation, death, will be defeated. This is the point here. The gates of hell will not do anything. What is meant here is that Satan will not destroy the church of the living God. The church will undergo persecution and martyrdom, but the church would be triumphant. Hey, Rob, are you there?
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
What do you think about here? Even though where you have no, we're getting there, but I think, what, do you have anything popping up in your mind?
Well, I had a comment about Peter being called the Rock.
Yeah.
If you read Matthew 16 and you look at it as a whole chapter, whole context, it seems to be If you look at one verse, you get one meaning, but if you look at all the surrounding verses, you get a slightly different message that's conveyed. Mm-hmm. And so what we see is Christ referring to the statement that Peter made about calling Jesus the Christ.
Right.
You know, the revelation that came through Peter through the influence of the Father, this was a spiritual revelation, not something that he had in his own flesh. And so Jesus is referring to this faith, and it's that faith in Christ and on Christ that would become the rock that the church would be built on. This is kind of what we see looking at it. Mm-hmm. Now, Peter's one of the first rocks that begins building it, but when we look in 1 Corinthians 10:4 and 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, it says Christ is the rock.
Yeah. Christ is the rock,
And so it's best to see the rock as referring to Jesus himself, and Peter's confession of his faith in that. And in 1 Peter 2, 4, verses 4 and 5, we see that Peter says, we are living stones, just like his name was a living stone.
Okay.
And I love what Jamin just Wasson Brown says, I will build my church. Not on the man Simon Barjona, but on him as the heavenly taught confessor of a faith.
Yes.
And that's what I have. So as we look here, it's that faith that the fires of hell shall not quench, not destroy, shall not pass.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we're seeing here.
Mm.
And it's a firm foundation.
It's a firm foundation.
Sand, not hay, not stubble. Yeah, it's solid rock.
Mm-hmm.
So it will be eternal, and nothing will destroy it.
Good, thank you. Now, the second point today is in verse 19. Verse 19 promises, "I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom." Another statement use of the apostolic succession by the medieval church. Now, when the text verse 19 said upon thee, they are saying, well, look, the Catholic movement from their doctrinal position that Paul is the foundation of the church, so he had the apostolic succession seed, all right, and so they all believe that. Okay, this is a major debate today. To this time, but when you look at what Ralph said, you cannot read one or two verses and conclude. Read the entire chapter. I mean, the entire chapter, and then you will know what the text is really saying there. And I love what you said, Ralph. So here in the church again, this must be understood in light of corporate identity. Peter is the preeminent figure in the early church. He embodies the community in his leadership. The keys of the kingdom are the direct contrast to the gifts of hell. And God is just working miracle. The gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. And when you look at church history, even to this day, in other countries, Christians have been beheaded. Christians have been killed because of their faith. But yet, the faith is much more stronger than ever before. Look back in church history. And Christians were massacred for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. And the power of the living God will always come when there is persecution of the church. The key is giving to the church so that whenever we preach the gospel, when the gospel is heard by anyone, that person will be saved and accept Jesus Christ and go into the kingdom of God. So the key is with the church. It's with the teaching and the preaching of the gospel. These are major issues that in light of Paul, I mean of Peter's calling and the debate concerning other group and saying that Peter he's the apostolic succession, he is the rock, and he had the key of heaven, you know, and all that. However, Peter now, when we look back in before the before the date of Pentecost, here is Peter that everyone is saying, oh yeah, he is the seed, he is the foundation of the church, and here then many people are saying that, even though we're not saying it, we don't believe that. All right, but this is what happened. On several occasions, Peter went through so many crises when he was following Jesus. And I know many of us do too. Even in our time, we follow Jesus, and every now and then we get into what? We get into a little crisis. All right? During his life, he faced three major crises. Note this very carefully. Note that at two of these crises, Jesus calls Peter by his own name. Jesus called Peter by his own name. You know, he called him by his own name. At these two crises, he called Peter by his own name. And don't forget about that. All right? Because Peter had fallen here and there. But let's look at some of the areas where Peter really had major problems. There came a time when he was following Jesus. Peter wanted to do everything in his own power. We know that. And there came a time that he said, Lord, I will be with you, and whatever the people want to do, I'm going to stand. Jesus says, Peter, before the cock crow three times, you will deny me. He said, I'm not going to do it. I am going to fight back. But these are the three major crises that were in Peter's life. Okay. And the first thing, when you read Matthew 14, 22 to 33, Peter doubted. All right. Now, when you doubt, then of course the next thing there, you doubt leads to fear. And then fear and doubt will also lead to failure. So in Peter's own life, he really doubted. You know, he many things that he did. But Rob got a note here. So let me not just go ahead of it. Okay, Rob, you got a note here with Peter doubting and why not?
Yeah, so we see, what's great is we see Peter's doubt. We see him putting his foot in his mouth, sort of impatient. We see in the beginning of the gospel how he's very immature.
Yeah.
But then as Christ carries on his ministry, as he gets discipled by Christ, and then after Christ dies, we see he becomes a completely different person. He's
different
transformed.
Person.
Yeah, the he's just on fire. Carrying out carrying the gospel to all the ends of the earth. I mean, it's just amazing to see the transformation. And as you mentioned a little bit ago, he was just a fisherman. He was uneducated, but yet he studied at the feet of the greatest rabbi ever. You know, he got firsthand lessons straight from God himself. And what's interesting here, when we talk about doubt, there's, when we're looking at Peter's wife, we don't see a whole lot, but actually we're introduced to this in the gospel. So in Matthew 8, Mark chapter 1, and Luke chapter 4, we read a little bit about Christ coming to visit Peter's house.
Right.
Christ comes to the house. They've left the synagogue. They've been out ministering. They come to the house, and it's brought to Christ's attention by those that are around him that the mother-in-law of Peter is ill, which kind of points the way to us that, hey, when we have a need, you know, we should bring it to God's attention, and especially when we know those around us have needs. to bring their needs before him. And that's what we see. Right before this, we see the needs of the centurion, we see the needs of the leper and these gospels. But here it's really interesting what happens with the mother-in-law.
Yeah.
And those in the house were very concerned for her. And what happens is Christ goes in, he ministers to her, he rebukes the fever. It's a very strong fever that Luke records. This wasn't just a minor sickness, but she was really taken with a fever. He rebukes it, he takes her by the hand, and then he lifts her up, and the fever is gone.
Wow.
And then what does she do? What's her response? She immediately gets up, and she goes and starts ministering to those, serving them, making the preparations for the Sabbath meal. And I love what Charles Spurgeon said about this. He says, the moment the Lord Jesus Christ saves a soul, he gives that soul strength for its appointed service.
Right.
So it's doubt, it's weakness no more. Completely turned and changed. It's just fantastic.
It's just great. It's just great. Now let me just give you three things that, for those who are with us live and those by replay, three things that will help you with doubt, to avoid doubt in your life. One, pray sincerely, asking the Lord to help you with your needs. Just pray and pull everything before God. We see it. We see it that when Jesus visited Peter's house and he healed the mother-in-law who was sick. Now the second thing that you need to do to help you, which is the cure for doubt, believe God can accomplish all things. Don't forget that. God can accomplish all things. And so when you have a problem, you have an issue, know that God knows everything. He can do the impossible. He can accomplish all things. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Then you do the three things, praying sincerely, knowing, believing that God can accomplish all things, and your eyes is on Jesus, then of course, it will be very difficult for doubt to take root in your heart, because it will lead to fear, and fear will lead to something different, to failure. So whenever you're doing something and you find out that there's doubts coming in your heart, and the enemy is saying, well, you can't do this, it's not possible, all you need to do the three things. Pray, believe that God can do all things, keep your eyes on Jesus, and not on the mountain that the enemy or the devil say is before you. Nothing is before you once your eyes is on Jesus. That's a good thing. Now Peter, here he, look at his denial. The story here is there. You can just read it from Luke 22, 31 to 34, 54 to 62. When Peter was so strong, he said, Lord, I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to stand strong. I'm going to stand strong and do this. Right? Jesus said, well, Peter, you will see what's going to happen. All right. Now, let's look at the reason of Peter's downfall. I want you to be paying attention to this. All right. Now, we have the reason for his downfall. Number one, he trusted in his own strength. Peter, he was a fisherman, very strong guy. So he felt that, you know, when he was working for in the fishing industries and they wanted to accomplish something, they got to use their own strength to do it. Peter trusted, and anything happened, Peter is ready. But what did he do when they went to arrest Jesus? What did he do? He cut somebody's ear. He took the sword right away, he cut the person's ear off. He trusted in his own strength. And whenever we trust in our own strength, forget it, we're going to fall. We see many great men of God falling today. It's so sad to say that. We don't like that. The enemy will always attack those who are in the forefront. But at the same time, when sometimes some of us, we trust in our academic know-how, oh yeah, we got this too much education, we can do it. No, we need to look up to Jesus Christ. Once you begin to trust in your academic know-how, in your preaching skill, in whatever you're doing, trouble is on the way. If you don't be careful, you're going to fall. Peter got up. Instead of waiting for Jesus' time, he took his sword. He said, I can do this. I have promised Jesus that I will stand by him. I need to show it right now. He cut somebody's ear. But Jesus took it and put it back. He said, Peter, he who fights by the sword shall die by the sword. And that very night when Jesus was arrested, Peter followed them, but he was far off. See, now he went, he started warming himself at Satan's fire. What he should have done was by the other people. He should have gone somewhere or to be praying here and there, but he was warming himself at Satan's fire. That one of the main things. And he openly denied the Lord 3 times. I do not know that man. I do not know that man. The third one, then they could crawl. And when Jesus looked at him, Peter cried bitterly. So, now after the whole thing, and listen carefully. And I just love what we are teaching, what we are studying, because you will see the beauty of redemption in this whole thing that we are teaching tonight. Where other apostles, Peter is the hero. Peter is this. Peter was just an ordinary person, but he was empowered by Jesus Christ. Look at some of the things he did when the Holy Spirit had not come upon him. Failed Christ many times. Did some other wrong thing, as we all do. But it is only God can do the work in us. Now, when the whole thing happened and Peter did something, Peter resigned. When you read John 21, from 1 to 19, he decided to go back to his wife, to his old life of fishing. To where I know this thing that Christ is there, even though we saw the miracles and things, but I think I got to help myself. I got to go back. Christ recalled him. This is the beauty. See, he who denied Jesus 3 times and went back to his old life of fishing, what did Christ do? Christ called him. I love that part. It's so great. And Peter denied Jesus 3 times. And 3 times the Lord asked Peter to affirm his love for him. When he was in the fishing, and then he saw Christ. And he said, you gotta come. And when he came, he said, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, yeah, Lord, I love you. He said, Peter, do you love me? And for the 3rd time, he asked him again. Then Peter was convinced, even though he resigned, went back to his fishing business, but he was recalled. Christ called him back. Christ reached up to him and called him back to ministry. Then Peter followed Jesus without turning. Wholeheartedly. See, now let's just look at, I know our time, but it the beauty of redemption. Peter followed Jesus. They went through several things for maybe over 2-3 years. And when Jesus ascended into heaven, Peter went back to his old life. But then Jesus reached up to him. Now, this time now, when Peter came, and then right after the day of Pentecost, Peter was never the same. We see here. Peter was one of the key leaders in the early church. Don't forget that. I know we all understand this. But was it Peter's own power? This is the point that I want you to grasp into what we're saying tonight. Peter became one of the leaders in the early church. It was not in his own power. It was when the Holy Spirit came upon him on the day of Pentecost, when he received the power, and the power of the Holy Spirit gave him that ability to serve Christ wholeheartedly. Without the Spirit of God, we can't do nothing. The leading role of Peter, we cannot compromise with that. Yes, Peter was a great leader in the early church, but it was God doing his work through Peter. Prior to the coming of the Holy Spirit, Peter disappointed Jesus on many occasions, and Christ had to reach out to him to bring him back into ministry. Don't forget, Peter was there. He followed Jesus. He became so strong. It is Peter who asked the Lord to explain his teaching on forgiveness. He was very bold. His parables, it was Peter that asked him. And who speaks to the disciples' minds. He said, this is what we want. He was a very bold guy. Peter was very bold. But it was when Christ, when he received the Spirit of God, the message of the angel at the tomb, as recorded in Mark 16:7, said, go your way, tell his disciples and Peter. Certainly, Peter held a very special place among the 12. Yes, that I agree. God used him greatly. And we see Peter's failure, that he could not do it in his own strength. Now he promised Jesus, I'm going to fight back, I'm going to stand by you. But this work that we are doing, we cannot do it in our own strength. You are going to fall. That's what happened to Peter. He fell. Well, Peter was a very strong man. Why? Because he was a fisherman. He had his own, he and his friends, they had their own business running. God called him from that business into following him to be fisher of men. So in there, he failed. And then went back to his old job and said, well, I'm going to go back to my old job. And then Christ did what? I love it. Christ reached to him and said, Peter, I'm recalling you. Come back. And when Peter came, he came. The Spirit of God was upon him. Christ changed his life, and he stood as one of the key leaders of the early church. I think we all know this. All right. Now, okay. Here we look at the biographical sketch of Peter. Now, the second thing that we're going to look at is his wedding. And that I'm going to stop here. His wedding. All right, his marriage. Well, as we mentioned in our introduction, Peter was married before his conversion. So before his conversion, he got married. Now, we do not know the name of his wife. Tradition says that Peter's wife was the daughter of one Aristobulus, while Mark is described as sister's son to Barnabas. He was also brother-in-law to Peter. So we know Peter has a wife, but we do not have any detail how the wedding ceremony was performed. However, Peter got married before he came to the Lord. Since Scripture is silent on how the wedding was performed, we cannot create one. There's nothing we can do about it. We leave it just as it is. We know that in the Jewish wedding celebration, it lasted for a whole week. That we know. Wedding in the Jewish setting, it was a great time of celebration. It would go on for a whole week. And then we do not know whether he and his wife had children. They may, but it was not written anywhere in Scripture. So how can we discuss this? All that we know, this is why we combine his ministry with the wedding, because we have nothing highly on the wedding, and no details at all. So, and we want to discover that Peter took his wife along with him on a mission tour. So Peter and his wife were partners in ministry, as we have discussed. Now they traveled from place to place to preach the gospel. Now we know, behind every successful man, there is always a great woman. And we see that in the life of Peter's wife. Now, Let us find out when Peter got saved, when Christ reached out to Peter and Peter came back, and after the day of Pentecost, the weak and boastful Peter served his master faithfully. Now, Peter was weak, he was very boastful. But when Christ reached to him and brought him back, and during the day of Pentecost, in fact, he was his spokesman. When the Holy Spirit came down, Peter begins bold. He healed the lame man at the beautiful gate in Jerusalem. God began to perform healing through him. Peter pronounces judgment on a couple, Ananias and Sapphira, who lied. Peter said, you didn't lie to us, but you lied to God. And he died. He meets with Paul. When Paul got saved and people were skeptical about his salvation, Peter met with him. Raises Dorcas from the dead. Look at that. Peter began to serve the Lord. Wasn't Peter doing that? No. God is doing his work through Peter. Whatever miracles and think that people, this is why many Christians do fall, because when they are praying and people getting healed and great miracles are taking place, they will say, I am the one. If I pray for you, you will get healed, instead of giving the glory to Jesus Christ, who is doing the healing. The glory is supposed to be with Jesus Christ, not to you. God called Peter to be an apostle to the Gentiles. Call Peter to be an apostle, not to the Gentiles, but to the Jews. And Paul was called to be an apostle to the Gentiles. But Peter was called to be an apostle to his own people. See why God did. Peter explained his action of preaching to the Gentiles. To the apostles, because they didn't like the idea. When Peter began to preach to the Gentiles, Peter has so much revelations where God showed him some great thing, and he saw a plate coming down from heaven, and the person spoke to him and said, well, kill and eat. And he said, well, I've never eaten anything unclean before. But God said, do not call anything unclean. What I have made clean, you cannot say is unclean. Peter, eyes were open from that, and when he went, he preached the gospel. Some of the apostles they didn't like the idea, but Peter had to explain to them what God did through his life. He was one of the delegates to the conference in Jerusalem. Even though one time he was rebuked by Paul for his inconsistency, we will find in Galatians 2:14. See, Peter began to work strongly for the Lord. Now, he who was a coward, listen carefully, now courageous. He was impulsive, now humble to serve the Lord. Peter was ignorant, now enlightened, because when he was, he studied under the feet, as Dr. Rapp said, under the feet of the best, the most important rabbi in the whole of the universe. He studied under Jesus Christ. So he became a changed person. He was deeply inquisitive in anything. Now Peter was submissive. He who was so boastful of himself, now he becomes what? Boastful in Christ. That's a major change. He who was afraid, he became what? Fearless. Peter made a major contribution in the church. He wrote two books. First Peter, in this book, he encouraged the suffering Christians to trust Lord in their suffering. And in Second Peter, he warns the Christians that scatter, you know, that they should not listen to all kinds of false teachers, and that they should grow in your faith and knowledge of Jesus Christ. These are great things that the Apostle Peter did. Now, here are quite a, let me just throw something out there, which I call here food for thought. Now, we believe that Peter's wife helped him in ministry by traveling with him on some mission trips. All right? We believe that. We know that this is true. Okay? Now, what did she do when Peter was in prison in Rome where he finally died? We don't know what the wife did. Do they have children? We have no record. Did she continue the ministry when Peter was killed, or did she die before Peter? We have no, we cannot explain that. These are things that we just want you to think about. But here are quite a few things before we come up with our conclusion tonight. Regarding a child for Peter, the only possible reference to a child is 1 Peter 5:13, where Peter refers to Marcus, my son. This is probably a spiritual reference to John Mark. However, there is an outside chance that it could refer to a biological son. But, I mean, we can't state that. Tradition says that Peter's wife also experienced martyrdom. Other traditions give her different names and refer that she have children. But these are all tradition. We prefer to stay with the Bible. Whatever that is not in the Bible, we cannot stand behind it. We can only stand and preach what is scripture. To all that, we can't do anything. All right. Here we come tonight. Okay, for those who are with us live, I'm going to unmute everyone, and hey, you have the opportunity to ask questions or make comments. And right after that, Rob will come to, as usual, to give us our conclusion, and then followed by the announcement, and we will be out of here. Okay. Now, anybody with you have questions to ask, it is time for you to do so. Question or comment? All right. Okay. Thank you. Well, we're glad that we got more videos out there. Great teaching. Enjoy them. And Rob.
Yes.
All right. It's about time before I make our announcement tonight. Can you please give us the conclusion?
I'd love to.
Okay.
One of the things I love about Peter is that he provides a model for us.
Right.
His life gives us hope and great encouragement.
Right.
The world around us preaches success. Mm-hmm. Go out, build up wealth for yourself, have your own business. But what did Peter do? Instead, he walked away from his business and walked with Jesus.
Yes.
He studied at the feet of the greatest rabbi that ever lived, the greatest teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And I love what Christ said. He said to Peter that, and he said to them that, I will make you a fisher of men.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we are all called to do, to preach the gospel in season and out, and to go into all the world. And just as Peter did, we are to take up the cross and follow Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so I encourage our listeners to let go of the petty things of this world and focus on Christ. You know, we see Peter was surrounded by great people and those that supported him.
Mm-hmm.
His wife, Paul, the other apostles. This is something that's important for us to remember.
Mm-hmm.
It's important with who we surround ourselves with and where we go for guidance.
Right.
We're going to God first. And scripture tells us where two or more are present, God is with us.
Mm-hmm.
We must not forget that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us.
Mm-hmm.
And as we've seen through this entire study, that God is the promise keeper, and he's been building his church. We are the body, and we should live as such. You know, Peter wasn't perfect, but he yielded to Christ's teaching and to the Holy Spirit.
Uh-huh.
And despite his imperfections, he was impactful. So for us, we should cease doubting, get rid of our fears, give them all up to God, yield to him. He cares dearly for us, and he'll make our path straight.
Right. Great. Thank you, Rob. Thank you. Great summary. Great conclusion. All right. We learned great things from him. He was, on most occasions, he took his wife. His wife was a partner in ministry. Okay. For our announcement today, if you are with us live, invite somebody next week. We are in the New Testament now. We just discussed Peter, and next week we're gonna get back to, we're gonna pick up somebody, and we will pick up Priscilla and Aquila. Is that so? Join us. We're gonna study about that next week. Great, it would be a great time. All right, let's see what it did. Let's see what we will learn from them, from that couple. All right. So those of you that will be with us by way of replay, if watching this video, if you are watching the video on YouTube, please leave us a comment and subscribe, because we produce video every week, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, whatever teaching we have. Every week we produce a video. When you subscribe, the moment we post a video, it will come straight in your inbox. You don't have to go find it out. It will just come straight to your door. So please subscribe today. And leave us a comment. There is thumbs up, thumbs down. We want you, if you like what we have done, give us thumbs up. If you don't like what we have done, give us thumbs down. Whatever decision you make, we will appreciate it. If you are watching the video on our website, do the same. Please subscribe. We have about 60 some more videos there now. We've been teaching from Genesis. Now we are in on marriage, on Christian marriage from Genesis. We are now in the New Testament, and we have 64 videos out there. They are free. You can enjoy them. Thank you for joining us tonight, and may God richly bless you. Hey, Rob, can you lead us in our final prayer?
Most certainly. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time to study your word. Lord, thank you so much for teaching us and ministering to us, giving us a glimpse into the life of Peter. Father, help us to be impactful just as he was, to quit doubting, to quit getting sidetracked, things that interfere with our folks. Father, let us just remove these things from our lives. Let's fix our eyes upon you. Run the race, as Paul said, with our eyes fixed on the kingdom, not worrying about all the other little petty things that surround us. Because, Lord, you've got that all taken care of. We have nothing to worry about. So thank you so much, Father, for loving us, providing for us, and wanting to be near us. Let us draw near to you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, everyone. Join us next week. Great time. All right. Okay. Bye-bye.